To be here this evening. Thank you so much for the invite. As you can tell, the accent is not a local accent. I was born and bred in Wales, was born again in Wales, and the Lord called me to minister in Wales. So I'm just thrilled to be able to preach the gospel back home. If you can't understand me, the services are recorded tonight. Just go back online to Sermon Audio, Points Past Baptist Church, and you can listen to the service in slow motion. So if I'm talking too fast, I think there might even be a subtitle option on the website as well. So praise the Lord. But it is an absolute blessing to be here tonight and to gather with those of like mind. And I'm just excited to see what the Lord has in store for us this week. And I just pray that the message would be a help and a blessing to you this week. What I'd like to talk about this week is a topic that is very misunderstood within the church today. You know, we live in an ever-changing world, and sometimes we feel as a church that we have to change and adapt to suit the world. But that's not the case. And one of the things that is really misunderstood today is how we worship in church. So I'd just like to spend the next few nights talking about the importance of worship, what worship is, what it isn't, and how as a body of believers and individually we are to worship the Lord. And this thought came about from a series of devotions that I had, and one devotion that really caught my attention was called Worship in the Minor Key. And I just thought that the whole thought process of this worship in the minor key was really interesting. Do you all know what a minor key sounds like? Okay, could you play me a chord? Which chord is that? Exactly, correct. So if you can play me a C? A C chord. See how nice that is? Can you play me a C minor? See the difference? Can you see the dramatic emphasis on a minor? It was only one note different, and yet the whole chord changes. And this devotion, worship in the minor key, was basically saying, how do we worship God when things are not going our way? You see, it's easy to worship the Lord. It's easy to come to church and praise the Lord. And when somebody says to you, you know, how's things? Oh, yeah, I've got the joy of the Lord and everything's going swell and everything's going grand. And I'm just praising the Lord. But can we worship God in the minor key? Can we worship him when things are really not going well? Can we worship him when our health takes a turn for the worse? Can we worship him when things are not a bed of roses? Because the Lord Jesus Christ never promised us a life of ease when we come to know him as our Savior. If we understand what worship really is, then we'll be able to worship the Lord properly if things are going absolutely grand and everything's all singing and dancing type of thing. And we'll be able to worship him if we're on our knees, as it were, at the end of our tether. So what is worship? We need to understand that worship is not just about singing. Worship is not just about music. Singing, preaching, going to church, praying in and of themselves are not just worship. Now, they may serve to stimulate worship. They may be carried out in a spirit of worship, but they in and of themselves are not worship. So what I would like to do tonight as way of introduction to set up this series of messages is to look at the scope of worship. And if you turn to John chapter 4, it's a familiar passage of scripture. I'm sure we all know it very well. The woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. John chapter 4, and we'll begin our reading in verse 20. And we'll just read a few passages of scripture, and then we're going to turn to about four or five different passages of scripture before the evening is through. John chapter 4 and verse 20. So the woman at the well, we'll go back to verse 19. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, so much for the opportunity to gather in this place. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be able to come around your precious and holy word. And Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight in such a wonderful way. We ask that you would help us, Lord, in the area of worship. We pray that you would help us to understand what it is and certainly what it is not. We pray that as a result of gathering together over these next few nights, that our walk with you would be improved, that our closeness to you, Lord, would just swell. We just pray that as a result of coming around your word and being in your presence, Lord, that we would draw ever closer to you. Father, we recognize all that we have comes from you. We recognize that we've been given so much. And Father, we pray that you would help us to understand all that we have in and through our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that everything which is said and done tonight and for the remainder of this week will only serve to bring you glory, honor, and praise. And we just ask that our own walk might be improved as a result of gathering around your word. Father, we love you and we praise you, and we pray and ask these things in Christ's most precious and wonderful name. Amen. As you can see from the text that we just read, the word worship appears in this text in some form 8 times. And the Greek word that is used is proskuneo, which means literally to kiss towards. It is used of the ancient tradition of a person kissing the hand of a superior or a person bowing to the ground in order to show one respect for those who were in a more superior position than themselves. It was used in the sense of bowing down or prostrating oneself. A person would bow before a superior as a sense of honor, respect, awe, and reverence. Our English word worship actually comes from an Anglo-Saxon word which was wiothsip, which refers to giving someone their worth. When it comes to God, that's literally what we do. We ascribe to God his worth. We demonstrate what God is worth in our commitment towards him. You know, my wife always says that if something is important, we make the effort. If it's not important, we make the excuse. Sad to say, you know, one of the reasons why I love coming back to Northern Ireland is because it feels like the Bible Belt of the UK. If I could just implore you to hold on to what you have in Northern Ireland, if you could see the state of the mainland, if you could see the spiritual state of Wales, if you could see the spiritual state of the UK, we're on a very dark downward path. Don't head down that path. Hold on to what you have. Don't make the same mistakes that we've made back on the mainland in the UK, because spiritually our nation is in an absolute mess. And we see that reflected in the state of our churches. When we come to church, we ought to show God his worth. Why? Because he's worthy to be praised. Because of what he's done for us. Because of who he is to us. Because of what he's given us through the death of his son to grant us eternal life. To give us a forgiveness of sins. To give us a clean sheet. To give us a fresh start. To give us a new heart. Why would we not want to come before him and show him his worth? Why would we not want to come every opportunity? You know, when I got saved, it wasn't a case of, right, now this is what you have to do. You have to be in church on a Sunday morning, and you have to be in church on a Sunday night, and you have to be in church in the midweek Bible study. And nobody had to say that to me. I wanted to be there because God saved me. God pulled me out of the miry clay and put my feet upon a solid rock, and he changed my heart, and he changed my life, and he saved my soul, and I wanted to know more about him. I wanted to be where he told me to be. I wanted to be in his house. I wanted to be with his people. I wanted to show him what he was worth in my life. Can you imagine if we treated our marriage relationship the same way that we treated our relationship with the Lord? How long would our marriage last? Because, we can see the state back home where people have neglected their walk with the Lord. They've neglected their relationship with the Lord. And the churches suffer. Back home in Wales, one church closes down every week. You go in back to just 100 years ago and there was revival and there were churches being built every single week and there were churches going up and churches were filled and people were being saved and oh, what a blessing. But that's just been completely reversed. Churches are closing. Spirituality is declining. Morality has gone out of the window. And we need to hold on to the things that we have. We need to recognize what God has given us. And we need to show him his worth. Worship is giving honor and respect to God. We're not here. Sorry, Pastor. We're not here to honor the preacher. As great as he might be. And I don't know, perhaps this is a tough crowd. Perhaps they're thinking, he's not that much. But we're not here to honour the preacher. We're not here to honour the church, regardless of how long the church has been here. We're not here to honour the church. We're not here to honour the preacher. We're not here to honour the people who've been in the church since they were children. We're here to honour the Lord. That's the purpose of coming to church. Not to keep the preacher happy. It's an impossible task to keep the preacher happy. We'll always find something that, oh, what a great service tonight. Yeah, it was a great service. But if only so-and-so was here. So it's difficult to keep the preacher happy. But we're not here to please the preacher. We're here to please God. We're here to show God his worth. We're here to honor the Lord. We're not here to just get a blessing. We're here to give back to the Lord because of what he's done for us. There are over 87 Hebrew and Greek words that are used to describe the concept of praise and worship. Over 600 references to praise and worship in the Bible. Now, we won't have time over the next 4 or 5 nights to cover all 600. But we'll try and cover as many as we can. And worship literally fills the whole pages of Scripture. In the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve fell into sin because they worshipped themselves instead of worshipping God. The book of Revelation pulls back the curtain between heaven and earth, and you get a glimpse of the worship that goes on in heaven. Pure, unadulterated, perfect worship. All the way through the Bible, you see scenes of worship recorded for our help. For our understanding what worship is and what it's not. Worship is the absolute non-negotiable of the Christian life. Can I say this? That as Christians, we have been created to worship God. That's what we've been created to do. We've been saved to worship God. Why? Because he's worthy of honor and praise and blessing. Because he's worthy of our worship. The truly redeemed child of God can't not worship. It's a natural thing for us to do. To worship the Lord. For a Christian to live without true worship is like a bird trying to fly without wings or a house trying to stand without a foundation. Worship is essential to everything that we do as believers. And that's why it's important that we understand what worship is. How do we try to begin or describe what worship is? William Temple, the Archbishop of Canterbury from 1942 to 1944, defined worship like this. To worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination by the beauty of God, to open the heart to the love of God, to devote the will to the purpose of God, and all this gathered up in adoration is the greatest of human expressions of which we are capable. Warren Wiersbe defines worship as the believer's response of all they are, mind, emotion, will, and body, to all that God is and says and does. So how, that might be what man defines worship as, but what does the Bible say about worship? Turn to Psalm 45 and verse 1. Psalm 45 and verse 1. This is what the psalmist says. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of things which I have made, touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. My heart is inditing a good matter. Worship is the overflow of a grateful heart. Worship is the outpouring of the heart, which is filled with a sense of God's goodness, greatness, and glory. David said that his heart was indicted, which means it kept on moving. It is literally bursting. Have you ever heard that expression? Oh, my heart is just bursting forth. That's basically what David is saying. My heart is just bursting. It was used to define water boiling over a pot. The idea of boiling over or bubbling up. As David reflects upon the glory and majesty of God as it is revealed in his creation, his word and salvation, his heart boiled over. And that's what the same picture in Psalm 23, where he says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. It's the same thing. His heart was just bubbling. We talked earlier about praising God in the minor key, worshipping God in the minor key. David, if anyone had an excuse sometimes to not worship God, it was David. He'd been anointed to be king, and yet for years he was on the run for his life because Saul wanted him dead. And yet you look at some of David's psalms, and you just literally feel his heart on every page. And all he wanted to do was never to let the Lord down. Never to be a bad testimony to the Lord. He was just a man whose heart bubbled over with worship to God. Worship is the overflow of a heart filled with the glory of who God is and what he's done. When you think about what he's done for us, when you think about how he's changed us, where he's brought us from, we didn't deserve salvation. We can't earn salvation. We can't pay for it. We can't demand it. We've done nothing to be worthy of it. And yet Christ died for our sins upon the cross of Calvary. Christ has given us everything. Let me ask you this question. How many of you get excited on Christmas Day? Five people. I bet you are really tough to buy for. I bet Christmas present, buying gift for you lot is a real nightmare. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to get him. He's hard to please. Never cracks a smile on Christmas Day. I love Christmas Day. I'm 46 years of age and Mum and Dad still buy me a stocking. I'm going to be devastated when that stops because I just love having a stocking on Christmas Day. You just can't help but be excited. There's something different about that day. What's happening? Your heart is bubbling over. Can I say this? There ought to be an excitement about serving God. When we've been saved, our hearts ought to bubble over. You know, we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, and sometimes the Christian fruit seems to be a lemon. Because that's what our face looks like. It looks like we've chewed on a lemon. I'm excited to be a Christian. I'm happy to be a Christian. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Sometimes the Christian needs to remind himself how happy he really is. Because when Christ has changed our lives, our hearts ought to bubble over. Here we get excited about a whole host of things. I'll be honest with you. Saturday afternoon, I was an excited boy. Now, I don't know what the sport is here in this area of the world, but in Wales, it's rugby. So on Saturday afternoon, I was excited. I was a little bit hoarse preaching Sunday morning because I was so excited Saturday afternoon. But if we can get excited about secular things, if we can get excited about the non-spiritual, how much more should we be excited about what God has done for us? Because can I say this to you, as much as I love rugby, rugby's going to do nothing for me in eternity. We ought to be excited about what God has done for us. And that ought to show in our lives. That ought to bubble over. That's what worship is. It is the outpouring of a heart. It's what's on the inside coming out. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6. It says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Worship is the outpouring of a soul at rest in the presence of God. He has made us accepted in the beloved. You know, sometimes, I don't know, perhaps we feel like, oh, when we worship the Lord, we have to do something, or, you know, is worship, you know, dependent on if our hands go up or not? Is worship dependent on what colour hymn book we use? Is worship dependent upon what type of song we sing? Can I say this, that we can worship just by sitting in God's presence? Anybody ever met anybody famous? You've met the Queen?
The wife.
Oh, the wife. Anybody ever met anybody famous? Okay. I got to go back to rugby again. I'm so sorry. I had the opportunity one time of meeting, I don't know if you've ever heard of a man by the name of Gareth Edwards. He was like the greatest scrum half ever. Still the greatest scrum half ever. And I was doing something in the National Stadium a couple of years ago. And I was walking around on the outside of the pitch. And Gareth Edwards was walking towards me. And what I meant to say was, could I have a photo? What I ended up saying was, you're Gareth Edwards. And I couldn't speak. How ridiculous is that? But I was just happy to be in his presence. I know that sounds daft, but I'm trying, you'll understand what I'm saying now. I was just happy to, not for him to even say anything back to me, but just for me to say, it's Gareth Edwards. It's the same when it comes to just sitting in the presence of God. We've been made accepted in the beloved. We have the opportunity to come boldly before the throne of grace. And sometimes we can just come into God's presence and sit there. Not have to say anything or expect anything, but just to say, I'm with the Lord. I'm with him. I can just sit here for as long as I want and just be in his presence. Worship is the outpouring of a soul at rest in the presence of God. The believer comes to realize that Christ, or in Christ, God sees us as sanctified and justified and redeemed and regenerated and blessed with all spiritual blessings. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. As we consider who he is, that we have the opportunity to come into his presence, that we could just sit at his feet. But how often do we actually take time to do that? We live in a world today which is just so fast-paced. Everything is fast. Everything is instant. You know, whether it's fast food or microwave meals, or everything's instant, we need it now. You know, years ago, we'd have just been happy if we went out for food, if our meal came within half an hour. Now if we go to McDonald's and our food is not there in 35 seconds, we're tamping. We're not happy. We're like, what's going on? This is meant to be fast food. It's been 45 seconds and it's still not here. We want everything quick. But why do we feel like that has to be our Christian walk, that everything has to be quick. Why can't we just come into God's presence and sit and appreciate who he is and what he's done? You know, how quick is our Bible reading in the morning? Do we just think, oh, I've got to do this now, otherwise pastor will say something about not reading our Bibles every day and he'll just make me feel guilty, so let's just get through a couple of passages. When was the last time we just came and sat at the Lord's feet? And we're just happy to be in his presence. Worship is the outpouring of a soul at rest in the presence of God. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 17. 2 Samuel chapter 17, and we'll start at verse 18, just read a few verses. 2 Samuel 17 and verse 18. Sorry, 2 Samuel 7. I thought that didn't make any sense then. 2 Samuel 7 and verse 18. It says, then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And it is this the manner of man, O Lord God, and what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake and according to thine own heart hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. Worship is the occupation of the heart, not with its needs, but simply with God himself. How many times have we prayed this way? Lord, give me. Lord, I need. Lord, if you just do this for me, then, maybe I'll do this. We come to God in prayer because we have a need. Maybe we come to church to receive a blessing. Oftentimes, it's what we can get out of it. In truth, genuine biblical worship is not about us getting anything, but it's simply about being lost in the wonder of who God is. When David was told by Nathan that God would establish David's throne and kingdom forever, David just simply sat down in the presence of God and just basked in the glory of God. That was the essence of true worship. In Revelation 4, it says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You know, when we look at the worship in heaven in the book of Revelation, there's never one request made. It's simply worshiping God for who he is. Not for what we can get. And, you know, and listen, don't misunderstand me. We do come to church to get fed, and we do come to church to, you know, to receive the word of God, and we get built up, and yes, we receive a blessing. But the purpose for us coming to church is all about him, not about us. That's the purpose, to simply come into the presence of God, not for what we can get out of it, but just simply to, if you like, bask in the glory of God. If you look at 1 Corinthians, and this is our last passage of scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Worship is the upspring of a heart that has known the Father as giver, the Son as Savior, and the Holy Spirit as the indwelling guest. While anyone in the world, even the unbeliever, can acknowledge that God exists, he can even acknowledge that God is supreme and the Creator, not everybody has the capacity for worship. A lost man can understand the reality of God, But he can't appreciate the truths of God until he's experienced that salvation for himself. Worship is simply recognizing the God as Father and Giver, the Son as our Savior, the Holy Spirit as that indwelling guest within us. We have that special relationship. We have that relationship with God. We enjoy that living watered experience, as it were. Look at what the Lord Jesus Christ said to the woman at the well. Let's go back to John chapter 4 and verse 13. And look at what the Lord said to the woman in verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." This is a picture of what happens when we are saved. The Spirit of God takes up residence in our hearts. He fills us with the wonder of who God is, and he flows out of us in worship and service to God. Jesus said on the last day of the feast in the temple in John chapter 7, he stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Can I say this? That worship is simply living water returning to its source. We drink of that living water from the Lord Jesus Christ and we get saved. The Holy Spirit then indwells us, and out of our bellies flow rivers of living water, which is simply the living water returning back to its source. That's what worship is all about. It is simply giving back to God what he deserves, what is rightfully his. Solomon said, Ecclesiastes 1:7, "All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. And to the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again." Solomon is talking about the rain coming down to the sky, the water there, the forming the rivers then going back into the sea, the water evaporating, going up into the clouds, and then it all happening all over again. I remember doing that in geography. I hated geography. I couldn't wait to drop geography. But I think I remember doing that. Is that right? We got any geography buffs in here? Yeah. So, and that's in the Bible. Wonderful. The Bible's true. Fantastic. You can have that for free. Worship operates in the same way. The Spirit is on the inside, who was sent from heaven to our hearts. He bubbles up, and remember, our hearts overflow. And then that, when he does, that praise from our hearts flows out and is offered back up to God. And it's the same thing. It's a reciprocal thing. The living water simply going back to its source. Everybody worships something. Why? Because it is created in us to worship something. When God created us, he created us for the purpose of worshiping him. When Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden and sin entered into the world, there was still that inbuilt chip in man, if you like, to worship something. And that's why you see where the people worship film stars or pop stars or sports stars or whatever it is. We have to worship something. We hold on to it. Whether people worship people, or whether people worship things. I'm amazed at how excited people get about cars. Do you like cars? Motorbikes I could understand, but cars is just ridiculous. But we worship something. I read a really interesting story about a woman in Mexico. When she was cooking tortillas, she burnt the tortilla. And when she looked at the tortilla, the face of Jesus was on this tortilla. I've actually got a picture of that on the PowerPoint. The face of Jesus was on this tortilla. And she took the tortilla to a priest to have it blessed. And she testified that the tortilla had changed her life. And the husband testified to the fact that since this tortilla had been in the house, his wife wasn't the same. You got that right. His wife wasn't the same. She had changed. She was different. The priest, not accustomed to blessing tortillas, was somewhat reluctant, but he agreed to do it. She took the tortilla home, put it in a glass case with piles of cotton to make it look like it was floating on clouds, and she built a special altar to it and opened up a shrine, and within a few months, 8,000 people came to the house to worship her tortilla. And people think we are crazy for worshipping God. But people worship anything. Some people worship tortillas. Some people worship rocks, statues, animals. I'm amazed that, you know, the people in the world today would put far more worth on a tree or an animal than they would do on an unborn life. That's the state of the world we're living in. The truth is, everybody gives honor and respect and adoration to someone or something. Who are we giving our honor and our adoration and our respect to? When we think of what God has done for us, because God reached down from heaven into the deepest, darkest pits of despair and dragged us out. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and yet he's given us eternal life to be sat in heavenly places, to be part of a royal priesthood, to be the child of a king. But do we really honor him and reverence him and respect him and worship him as we should? When you think of how much time and effort we put into so many other things in our lives, oh, if we would put the same amount of time and effort into our worship of our precious God and Saviour, how much different would our churches be? You know, sometimes we come and we sit in church and we go, right, preacher, bless us, if you can. But what if we came with a different attitude? What if we came with, right, preacher, we're here to worship him. We just here to worship the Lord. Just to show him what he's worth. To adore him. To reverence him. To praise him. Why? Because that's what he deserves. Because of who he is. Because of what he's done in our lives. If you were here tonight and you've accepted Christ as your Savior, then he's changed your life. He's changed your eternal destiny. If he's done that for you, then the most basic thing that we can do is worship him. That's the scope of worship. That's what worship is. It's just simply an outpouring of our heart bubbling over because of who God is. Not expecting anything in return, but simply sitting in his presence and showing him what he's worth. I'm so thankful that I know him as my Savior. And all I want to do is offer my life back to him to simply praise him and worship him, because he alone is worthy. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together tonight and for the opportunity we have to gather in this place. Father, I just pray that you would help us in such a way this week, Lord, that, Father, you would change our hearts and our minds, that you would help us, Lord, in a way that we've never been helped before. Father, may we see something from your word that maybe we've not seen before, that you would enable us to worship you as you deserve, that we would be able to worship you as we should. And Father, we recognize the fact that maybe this word has lost its meaning. Maybe this word has been misconstrued over the years. And Father, we have a misunderstanding maybe as the church in general today as to what worship is. But Father, we pray that as we come around your word and as we use your word to expand upon this word worship, that you would enable us, Lord, to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth, to be able to worship you as you deserve, to be able to worship you as we should. And Father, we'll be ever mindful in all that takes place this week to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Father, we love you and we praise you. And we come before you tonight to worship you. We ask these things in Christ's most perfect, precious, and matchless name. Amen.